Consequence Podcast Network. Tour set, pop.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
All right. So we're just going to talk initially about our reactions and our thoughts around some of the music videos that have come out for RM's album.
Yeah.
I believe Groin is the first one mm-hmm. that came out. Mm-hmm. And I particularly love the vibe of this music video just because this song is probably one of my favorites on the album. And he is just rocking out, jamming out, like enjoying himself. You know, it's just fun to see him kind of doing that classic rap style.
Yeah, and I just love that there wasn't too much to the music video. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, I mean, it's fun to just watch him enjoy the music himself, you
right?
know?
Yeah.
And the setting was very cool. A lot of people were saying it looks like it's in the UK. Like, it's very, like, you know, like, looks it's in the streets of, like, England somewhere. So it was a nice vibe. I really liked that music video, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also Nuts was pretty laid back too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love the live performance that we got with Nuts. Like just seeing him, it's almost like in a studio performing the song for the recording on the album or something was the vibe. And he just looked like he was just in his comfort zone. Like so happy. So just like enjoying the moment. Like I really love the vibe of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I thought was so interesting about it though, is just knowing what he says in that song and like how like angry he is in that
right.
song.
Right. Agreed. Interesting he chose that particular song with the lyrics and meaning of like for the live performance.
But it's a great vibe.
Yeah, I love it.
And then Domodachi has a little bit more to it. This is where we have some of those actors coming back into play.
Yeah, some storyline going on, you know, some like maybe past RM being represented there and just a lot more to unpack there. Mm-hmm. As of this recording, we still have one more music video to come out after that. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking forward to talking about these more at length on a later episode. Yeah. But you
down
know,
the road,
down the road.
But we're getting a new song from Jungkook,
I know.
And Jin is going to be coming back soon.
Right, events are happening.
So we're like, how are we going to cover all this?
Yeah.
So much is happening in the BTS world right now.
We will figure it out, of course, and
we'll
bring you guys all the content surrounding all of this amazing BTS everything going on.
Mm.
Today, we're talking about the second half of RM's album, so we are really excited to get into that with you.
Yeah.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back with our annual report, celebrating the year's best in music and entertainment. And this time, we're bringing you something extra, a brand new podcast series exclusively on Amazon Music.
Get inside access with interviews featuring this year's biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers, plus discussions with the Consequence team on our Best of the Year lists. And the best part? You can tune in with Amazon Music Unlimited, now free for 3 months.
For a limited time, get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited free by visiting tryamazonmusic.com/COS. You'll get over 100 million songs in stunning HD sound, on demand and ad-free, plus top ad-free podcasts, including the Consequence Annual Report podcast.
Even better, every Amazon Music Unlimited subscriber now gets one free audiobook from Audible each month.
Celebrate the best of 2024 with Consequence's annual report all December at consequence.net. And don't miss the companion podcast by signing up for 3 free months of Amazon Music Unlimited at tryamazonmusic.com/COS or clicking the link in the show description. That's tryamazonmusic.com/COS. Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about the second half of the album of right place, wrong person. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the second half of RM's album, Right Place, Wrong Person. We're going to be covering Groin, Heaven, Lost, Around the World in a Day, and the credit roll at the end of this album. So, of course, we're going to be talking about production. We're going to be getting into lyrics and just really what we pulled from the meaning of the second half of this album, because truthfully, this research was some of our favorite. Mm-hmm. It ended up being like really easy flow and like really deep, great discussion around these lyrics. And I just have such a strong appreciation for this album. And I'm excited to talk about what he has to say in all of these songs.
Yes. At this point, we have spent hours together unpacking even just the second half of this album.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're really excited to share our thoughts and our interpretation here. Before we get too far into the episode, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Yes. Thanks for being here, for all of your support, and of course for listening.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into Groin. So this was written and produced by all of the same people that we saw in the first half of the album. So just to refresh for you, that's RM, Kim Hanju, Mokyo, Sanyeon, and Junkyard. So this song starts with really calm and slow keyboard chords, which is really nice coming off of the interlude that we get, that question mark interlude in the middle of the album. That kind of served as a way to switch up the vibe, and here Groin is like easing us into the vibe of that whole second half here. They also have really nice bass and drums and guitar that comes in and gives a more alternative rock vibe, which we really love. And then when the chorus hits, it adds in a synth that gives it kind of like a Beastie Boys vibe, you know, like rocking out a little bit more, crashing around type of vibes.
Yeah. I get that alternative rock for sure with this song. But what I love the most about this song that really stood out first time listening through, and I think stood out for a lot of ARMYs, is just that classic RM rap style. He is confidently flowing. He's very even paced. This is the kind of rap that makes me think of that you just shut up and listen. He has something to say here, and we're just all ears. So all the rhythms of this song align, and it makes it so satisfying to listen to, especially coming off of that first half of the album where it's a little bit more off the wall production. Instrumental is all over the place. You know, things are being thrown at you which way they're not always completely meshing. This song has more of that song alignment, that typical sound that you would hear in a normal everyday song.
Totally.
And it's a little bit of a hype up song too. Like, it gets you on your feet. It gets you moving.
Yeah. I love the vibe of it. And I think that it really goes along with what he's trying to get us into with the second half. So let's go ahead and dive into the lyrics and what he's saying here in Groin.
Yeah. So in this first half of this first verse, he is very destructible. Like, that's the best word to use here. He's calling out people, calling them like unlucky bastards. He's saying they're incomprehensible bastards in the world. And basically he just is saying that, yeah, I'm gonna fuck it up. Like, these people, he doesn't care about them. He doesn't care what they have to say. So he's ready to not let these bastards who are unlucky and incomprehensible get to him.
Right.
And there's a line of, if I feel like I'll crash into them, I will just step on it harder. And that step on it harder is very Run BTS to us. Also, the step on it harder, like, there is definitely an August D song I know out there that is like Accelerate Faster, which is also has that like destructible kind of vibe.
Like destructible, destructive here, like towards these people. I love the use of incomprehensible. Like, he can't even understand how fucking stupid these people are, that they're like really challenging him in this way, and they're really trying to like bother him in such a way. This way I mess up again and again. I can't be a monk. And first of all, the monk, like, is so interesting, because in Domodachi, we're like, what is this monk-like, you know, droning that's going on here in the chorus? And also, Bethany, you and I have called and referred to Namjoon as, like, a sage before.
Sage, yeah.
Like, we've put so much wisdom on him and, you know, have garnered so much meaning from, like, what he said throughout his life. And so for him to say, like, look, like, I'm not that guy. I can't be that for you all the time, you know? Like, I can't be that, and people are misunderstanding me anyways. So he's like effectively saying people don't get him, he doesn't always get them. And mm-hmm. so he can't be that guide. He doesn't want that role all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't be a monk. Like, yeah, like you can't put that kind of pressure on me.
Totally.
And I love the I'm going to be, you know, just destructible and whatnot and just, you know, kind of misbehave a little.
Yeah, definitely the misbehaving. He goes on to say, I'm not a fucking diplomat. Now that life is a bit easier, they shove responsibilities onto me. What do I represent? I only represent myself. So like, you know, there's been like this meme within ARMY for years about President Namjoon, you know, Namjoon 2020, Namjoon 2024,
yeah.
even before that, like seeing him speak at the UN both times, like people were like, you know, obviously talking about how diplomatic he is. BTS have gotten diplomatic passports from South Korea because they've represented them numerous times to that regard. But he, you know, he said in the mini money with Jimin, like, I'm just a 30-year-old guy from South Korea. You're just a 29-year-old guy. Like, we're not special. Like, we shouldn't have these roles, you know, such high power mm-hmm. roles and influence, you know, in the political sphere like that.
And like, not even just being like a normal guy, but also like he signed up to be an artist and a musician.
Right. He didn't sign up to be a
diplomat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking at United Nations or speaking with the president of the United States.
Right.
You know, he's like, these are those responsibilities that got shoved onto him.
Speaking with the president of the United States is so fucking crazy that they did that.
I know.
Or even going to Busan to put on a concert to promote like travel and tourism in Busan. Like even mm-hmm. that, like I just think that he's, you know, he's not a tool for the Korean government to promote them, you know, and he's kind of tired of being used that way or being told that he should yeah. be used that way. And although these things that he's done are seen as major accomplishments in his history and BTS's history, like you said, it's something he never asked for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's really pushing up and pushing back against these ideas and conceptions that have been thrust upon him.
Yeah. And yeah. I love to hear it directly coming from him.
Me too.
You know, like I love the straightforwardness. And so that I even myself am kind of like, oh, yeah, now he doesn't want to, you know, be a part of that really.
Right.
And it helps me as a fan be like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
I don't want to check myself.
Like, let's not be quite as DeLulu.
Yeah.
You know, let's bring it back down to earth here and like realize
he takes his role so seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He really takes his role seriously. And I think that he needs the space to enjoy his own self, his own autonomy.
Yes.
He goes on to say, before I die from anger, let's say what I have to say. If I don't like someone, I just go bang, bang. He goes on to repeat, like bang quite a few times after that. And so he's like saying, before I become so resentful and I hate everything, let me speak my mind. And that is really like the first half of this album, we felt that resentment and that anger, and we really interpreted it as like from a relationship. But of course it can have some of these complex feelings of being RM leader of BTS and all of what that entails and that resentment and anger too. And then this second half he's getting into, I'm speaking my mind for sure, and like I'm moving on. So this is him saying, I'm speaking my mind, get ready for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I also love the use of bang, that onomatopoeia, because of course it makes us think of Bangtan, you know.
So intentional. He's so definitely intentional. Referencing Bangtan. Yeah.
They've always used like the gun symbol, you know, like with their hands as like a reference. It makes me think of like Jimin at the end of Dynamite with his bang, or the beginning of Dynamite. And you know, referencing Bangtan right there is like, as long as he has BTS's 7, he knows that they're unstoppable and no one can mess with him and no one can mess with them. Like
bulletproof.
They're
He's
fucking
bulletproof. Love how he brings the bond back into it. You know, I think that in this song he really is declaring, you know, getting his message across of I'm gonna be who I want to be. No one can put these responsibilities on me. I'm not perfect. I never wanted to be perfect. I'm not gonna put the pressure mm-hmm. of being perfect on me.
And regardless,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I get to say who I am and what I'm about. And I just really love how he's like being so clear in the lyrics here with that. And then to at the end say like, yeah, if I don't like someone, or if, you know, I don't like what's being said, like
I'm just gonna shoot them down.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna shoot that down. I'm bulletproof, not gonna let it get to me. Yeah. The like I was saying with the rap style in this rap, it really so much reminds me of RM's persona too, which also has that kind of similar lyrics themes.
Who am I? What is my role?
Yeah. But what I love about Grind is that it's so direct. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no blurring the lines.
He's not dancing around the topic. You know, he is literally, you know, he's saying it. He's putting it right out there. So there's no question. Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to try to psychoanalyze it more.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that too.
Yeah. So in the chorus, he says, "I see what I see, me. I be what I be, me. I'll set you free. Can't tell me nothing. I'm so far. What it do, just come." And immediately both Kayla, you and I, we had thought, oh, set me free, set you free, mm-hmm. feels very Jimin and Yoongi. Like they have the set me frees. Mm-hmm. They have songs like that. And I just think it's so lovely to see RM. I feel like it's intentional that he has his own mention of like, set you free, like him setting himself free too here by saying like, it feels like a declaration of himself that he's going to be himself only and that no one can tell him what to do mm-hmm. or what to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like
setting himself free from like that box of who RM of BTS is.
Yeah.
And also like, thinking about how Jimin and Yoongi both have set me free part two. And now he's saying, I'll set you free. It's like, him, especially he talked about this in the mini money with Jimin, like he has a different expectation and a different responsibility being the leader.
Yeah.
And so how, you know, he's been having to deal with these things is different than what the rest of the group has had to deal with. But they could be feeling the same ways. Like we really interpreted Jimin's whole album as like feeling like he's kind of wanting to rebel against what has been going on in BTS or like, you know, with the company was our interpretation of Face, right?
Yeah.
And so for RM as the leader to say, I'm breaking us out of this box now, I'll set you free. Like talking about himself, but potentially also talking about the rest of his members on how they're going to be able to break loose more and, you know,
continue to be themselves
and control their group how they want it to
be, not feel like they're being controlled or different responsibilities are being put on them.
Right. Not that they're being dictated to, but instead they get to decide their own plans and their own lives there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what that
which is what BTS has wanted and been about since the beginning,
which is what they should be able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
He continues on in the chorus with this repetitive line, get your ass out the trunk, get your ass out the trunk. And, you know, he says, your face, I'm like, fuck it. And don't care what you talk in. He also later on says, you walk like a duck, bitch. Mm-hmm. Like he's really like, so he's obviously addressing somebody here the whole time. And we're really fixating on this use of the word for trunk, you know, like what the trunk is representing here. It's making us think of like the trunk of the car can be like a dark hidden space. It's indirect to the rest of the car. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're shoved in the trunk or if something's in the trunk, it's kind of just like along for the ride. It's not making any decisions about where the car is going. Trunk can also be British slang for luggage. So like, you know, maybe baggage that someone has with them or just like what they're carrying around with them.
Just going for the ride.
Exactly. I think that the going along for the ride is like what we really were landing on. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like he's challenging these people in authority to get out of the trunk, get out of just going along with the ride and say it to his face because he's the one driving. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you're either in or you're out. But like, if you're back there, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And if you want to say something, you better come tell me.
Yeah.
Also, you walk like a duck bitch is such a hilarious line.
It's funny.
Like, it's so funny. You know, saying that this person doesn't have swag, doesn't belong where he is. There's this very, like, sassy tone here, continuing that sass from the first half of the album.
This is like a moment of self-worth for him, I feel. Where he's, like, when you picture Namjoon walking, like, head held high, like, he has a presence to him. And the people who want to, like, say things about him or want to push responsibilities or ideas on him that aren't true to him are people who don't have that.
They don't have that swagger. They're walking awkwardly around him.
Yeah. Like, you walk like a duck and you're going to act like you can tell me what to do.
Right.
I love that for him.
Yeah, me too. So this part of the song too is that very like Beastie Boys vibe, mm-hmm. you know, of just like really going off and going into it, that alternative rock.
Yeah. So in the second verse, he says, "Hate is harmful, but I suck it up. Now I'll go the other way to the cliff together with my brother, Sanyeon. I'll worry my mother. The hate is harmful, but I suck it up and go the other way." Like, it really seems like he used to let the haters get to him, but now he's learned that he has no choice but to just kind of suck it up, not let it get to him, but like maybe take this more angry route of like, you know, I'm not going to let someone like you affect me in that way. He's above them and he knows it. And so, Kayla, you'll get a little bit more into Sanyeon, mm-hmm. but like going to the cliff, like it just really makes me think like, oh, he's at his wit's end here.
Yeah. And he's just ready to jump, you know, if he needs to. But also earlier he says like, I step on it harder, you know, like he really is positioning himself above these people mm-hmm. mentally, like these people that are hating on him or bringing him any kind of like grief or strife or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's just like rising above it, you know, literally just like squashing it for himself. So,
or even just like, you know, he feels this anger towards them, and instead of, I know he says suck it up, but like to push on the gas a little bit harder mm-hmm. makes me feel like he's wanting to kind of run with the anger and like give into it a little bit and actually be more reactionary.
Totally. Step on it harder could be referring to like that stepping that gas pedal harder, bringing that like the car analogy back into.
Go back to that forest fire too.
Right.
Like he's really ignited.
Feeling that fire, igniting it. Mm-hmm. Totally. To go back to that line, together with my brother Sanyeon, I'll worry my mother. Like, we've learned through this album process that Sanyeon was so consequential in helping RM process these angry and resentful feelings and pulling these songs out of him through the creative process. Mm-hmm. Like, this was one of the people that he worked closely with. Sanyeon's on every single song, creative directed a lot of the music videos. So it must have been scary, I think, for like Bang PD and HYBE to like see this type of collaboration and how mm-hmm. adverse it, I mean, in our interpretation, how adverse it is to the positions in power over RM, which would be mm-hmm. those people, and see that subversion right in front of them. So I feel like that mother, you know, I'll worry mother is representing those people and also like kind of doing a slight at them, you know, calling mm-hmm. them like you're trying to helicopter parent me type of vibe, you know, and I'll worry mother is such a sarcastic, you know, another sassy line to put in there. Yeah. So
kind of acting out or being out of character or going against what he's supposed to do.
Right. And he's like, the tone of it is like, it's not that big of a fucking deal. Like, I'm just going to worry you, but like, you'll see in the end, I'll be fine. You know, like when people kind of push the boundaries with their parents to see what they can get away with, I feel like it has that air.
It's definitely a declaration of him taking control of his own life again. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I decide what I do.
For sure.
He says, maybe even above the law. No, never know. I'll live a good life, but you never know. And the mention of above the law, like, he's not someone who would break the law, like, or even just like break the rules of like mm-hmm. what the industry has said, HYBE or contract obligations. Mm-hmm. But if you push him, he could get there, you know, like he really is at that breaking point. He's standing on the ledge of this cliff where he feels like he's done and just over being controlled and told what to do and what he needs to do, that he would even go as far to like break the law at this point, mm-hmm. you know, of retaliating or gaining that self-autonomy and control again mm-hmm. of, I will break all the rules.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, I am so sick of being told what to do.
Well, we even saw like a little bit of that message in Indigo in mm-hmm. All Day with Tableau, and in the, you know, both RM's like verses, Tableau's verses had a little bit of this subversion and like push back on the control over him mm-hmm. bubbling up. But like on Indigo, we feel like he must have been stifled on everything that he really wanted to say. And in this album, he's finally getting it all out. This is like the whole truth as compared to like the little bits and pieces that we were seeing back then.
Yeah. Again, very direct in these lyrics. He does mention, though, that he'll live a good life. Like, he knows that to his core, he's a good person. He would never do something to that extent. But right. his anger is so intense that he could really break all the rules and laws.
When you feel like you're backed into a corner, what else do you have to do but to fight?
Yeah, we talked about being like an animal that's been caged for a long time. Mm-hmm. Once they get out, they're just going to go crazy.
Yeah, they got to break out.
Exactly. Yeah. Or we've talked about childhood celebrities who have been told what to do and controlled. And, you know, they're not able to go out and have to have this pristine, unrealistic image.
Right.
And
they weren't able to have like the proper process of like maturing even yeah. and like going through those important life events that you yeah. need to as you're growing up. And we see for a lot of child stars and child celebrities, it does not work out.
You know? You see a lot of them break the law and yeah. do stuff like that.
Go through really rough times.
Mm-hmm. Sure. He right here is just like, I am at this point. We gotta quit this. Mm-hmm. Otherwise yeah. I'm going to lose it. He said he would never, but you never know.
But also, like, we were reflecting on this yesterday too. He has so much power as like in his role and mm-hmm. in BTS being like this biggest K-pop group, and like that they all have stakes in HYBE. Like, they have so much power that he should be able to assert himself this way.
Yeah.
And they need to listen, you know, like he, like, this is not like him giving them an ultimatum that's not going to work out. Right. You know, this is like him taking back control over his life, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And him knowing his self-worth.
Exactly. Like knowing his self-worth and knowing what he deserves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I think he's thinking about, what all of BTS deserves, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's
in the driver's seat.
Exactly. He goes on to say here at the end of this verse, just lower your eyes so don't provoke me. If you want to be friends, just pour me a drink, you dig? So I feel like, you know, he's like, you don't even deserve to look him in the eye if you're going against him at this point. Like, mm-hmm. you just, like, you're just gonna end up on the ground or something. Exactly. It's dangerous for you if you do. It's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we see, like, this outro again where he says, I see what I see me, I be what I be me, and I'll set you free one last time. And like, we just felt like we were concluding that he's setting himself free by seeing him and being himself, reclaiming or maybe claiming for the first time autonomy over his life and his actions and the decisions of him and BTS, mm-hmm. and really declaring like there is no other way but this way.
Yeah.
And he also told us in the mini money that he titled this song Groin because this is coming from within the deepest parts of himself. So I love the explanation of this song title. Mm-hmm. That was one that I was most intrigued by getting the track list. And I do feel like he was very honest and very raw and very deep with this song. So mm-hmm. I thought it was a perfect title.
It is a perfect title. I yeah. love that. That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Oh, terrific song. Lyrics are great. Mm-hmm. Vibe is great. Production is fantastic mm-hmm. as well. Rap style.
Top tier. It, yeah. Classic RM.
Chef's kiss to Groin. Perfect. I really love Groin.
10 out of 10.
All right. So next is Heaven. So for production, a lot of the same writers and producers, Junkyard, there's Brad Museum, Sanyeon, you know. All of them. So this song is drastically different from Groin. It has a very ethereal sound to it. It's gorgeous. It's dreamy. The tone is a lot lighter. His vocals, it's all singing, no rapping, very light and airy vocals mm-hmm. at that. So there's these soft oohs in the background, easy strumming of a guitar, very soft drums, very long, drawn out, soft piano chords. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like, I mean, the song's called Heaven. It sounds like Heaven.
It sounds like Heaven. It's such a pretty song.
Very, very pretty, very gorgeous, very peaceful. So in the lyrics, at the chorus, he says, take my heaven because you ain't inside it. If that's your delight, come ruin my vibe. Take my heaven. Oh, you ain't invited. Go grab your knife and watch me collapse. Mm. So when we first got into the lyrics of this song, we wanted to know, what is Namjoon's heaven? And we think it could be his happiness, his own self-autonomy he's talked a lot about, his own successes, his own self-expression, or even his privacy. Like, it mm-hmm. could be all of these things. Like, the things that just bring him the utmost happiness is his heaven.
Right.
And so in this song and this chorus right here, he's being a little ironic, like sarcastic, and pointing out this like paradoxical fact that this person is welcome to like steal his heaven by ruining his vibe and taking a knife and watching him collapse. Mm-hmm. Like, there's such paradox in that of like, in order to try to receive my heaven or take my heaven from me, you're like doing this really terrible, cruel thing by just like, just striking me to the ground,
right.
You know, putting me all the way to the ground. And he's kind of pointing out the irony indirectly by saying, whoever is stealing his heaven is doing it by hurting him. Like, if that brings you delight, you know, right. Like by essentially being cruel to me, like that person clearly doesn't deserve heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you steal someone's heaven?
Right.
Can they truly be stealing it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot being said just in this chorus, and you know, which is why I think he's so welcoming to them taking it, knowing mm-hmm. that he knows that they really can't take it.
Yeah, it definitely has this air of like, you really can't take it, but if you're gonna try to take mm-hmm. this from me, like, you're effectively going to be killing me.
Yeah,
like, he's that forward with it, which I think is a little bit opposite of the light, beautiful sound of the song, you know, like,
yeah. It's kind like of dark peace with it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's peaceful but kind of dark lyrics at the same time, mm-hmm. even with such a beautiful sound. And like, talking about heaven, like, on the surface level of the song, if you don't really dive into the lyrics, you might just think it's a really pretty song about mm-hmm. your heaven, you know, mm-hmm. but hearing those lyrics of like, go grab your knife and watch me collapse, like, if you really take this from me, it's a little bit jarring, yeah. You know.
Yeah,
he goes on into his verse to maybe explain more about these people trying to take his heaven, saying, you don't need to hide it, I know what you are, you do it every time, don't let me ignite it, you're trying to rewind but not this time. And so I think here he's addressing that he knows these people are motivated to control him. It's obvious that they want to do that. He's saying, I know what you are, I know your intention here, I know your goal mm-hmm. here. It feels like he won't, or that they won't let him speak his mind with the line of, don't let me ignite it, which again kind of brings us back to the beginning of the album of like feeling high like a forest fire, like he mm-hmm. is finally igniting it. Mm-hmm. Maybe also makes us think about, since he shared on the mini money that he couldn't say everything in Indigo he wanted to, like, is that the don't let him ignite it, especially the you trying to rewind, like, you're going back on what you told me I could do, you're taking back, you know, what you said I could do. And mm-hmm. so that's what that, you know, really made me think of too, like, not allowing him to express himself freely, and now he's just doing it anyways on right person, wrong place. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and that, like, the fact that he felt like he couldn't fully do that with Indigo, mm-hmm. I think really shows that he's, in this album, he's like, no, I'm going to do it anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you go back on me and, you know, say that I can speak my mind, but, mm-hmm. you know, really not actually letting me.
Right. And again, in this verse, he seems very self-assured and very confident, mm-hmm. like knowing that they can't, like saying, I know what you are, you know, like mm-hmm. that's just very, again, confident, like knowledgeable,
and yeah, like very yeah. wise, like he's figured it out.
Wise,
like
he's not, figured them out. He knows what's going on here, mm-hmm. and he's not going to fall
victim
to it again.
He's not
going
to be fooled anymore.
Right, exactly. He goes on in the bridge. I love this bridge so much. He says, I'm feeling so good here with me. Feeling so full here with me. Everything's untakeable. My peace is unbreakable. So this is kind of going back to what you said with the chorus of like, they can try to take his heaven, but he knows that they can't actually do it. It's with himself, you know, saying this feels like heaven. When he's in this headspace, he's truly untouchable. Outside sources trying to impose upon him really can't take anything from him. They can't break him. They don't have power over him in that way anymore.
Yeah.
He's totally at peace here. So it seems like to me, he's done a lot of work to get to this perspective. Like, I think over, you know, Mono, Indigo, and now this album, like, we've seen him struggle with these themes, mm-hmm. and to see him kind of talking about like, everything's untakeable, my peace is unbreakable, maybe even making me think of Come Back to Me and what he talked about in Come Back to Me, mm-hmm. where like, that spring will always be here, it's always yeah. been here. It's just this really optimistic peace of mind, you know, mm-hmm. he's not like overly enthusiastic about the future, but he just knows like he'll be able to handle it, and
yeah,
that he's
okay.
He's untouchable, mm-hmm. and he's okay.
Yeah, the line of like, I'm feeling so good here with me, and the repetition of with me, when mm-hmm. going back to the question of what is his heaven, mm-hmm. it seems like his heaven is like when he gets to fully be himself, uncensored,
right,
and being a human who makes mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, being a human who is just human, not yeah. perfect.
Yeah, I love that use of feeling so good with me too, because it's like that ultimate bliss that you can have when you are happy with who you are, mm-hmm. and you're happy with how you're living your life.
And accepting your flaws.
Exactly. And when you're in that space, you know, that is like probably the best that you're ever feeling. Right. It's amazing that like he must have been feeling that way to be right. able to write these lyrics too.
Yeah. So he says, "Take my heaven for free, your words and face, don't kill me. You know you're not a lovable. I'm happy where the devils are." Ooh. He definitely uses irony and sarcasm in this song as a tool.
Yeah.
Like, it is definitely pointing out, like, he clearly is not with the devils, you know? Like, he clearly is, it feels, I know this is hard to say because it's the whole right wrong thing, but right. it feels like he's in the right here.
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm truly being myself, and this brings me peace and happiness. And for him being himself, like, that's not going to put him where the devils are, you know? Right. Like, it's getting...
But for them, it might. So it's like, what's right for him might be wrong for them. You know, it's like yes. going back to that whole core of what he was talking about yes. in this album.
But, like, it comes off so sarcastic that I mm-hmm. think, you know, whoever these haters are listening might start to have perspective of, like, oh, shoot, like... I'm the bad guy here,
right.
you know, like yeah. I'm trying to steal someone's happiness.
I mean, giving the visual of like, if you're doing this, you're going to take the knife to me, make me collapse to the floor. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, the whoever he's, you know, targeting this song towards, mm-hmm. they have to reflect exactly. after this. You know?
There's some serious reflection going
that
on.
Things happen yeah. here.
You can just tell that he has so much self-assurance here
mm-hmm.
and he has the knowledge to know like your words, your face really cannot kill me. You really cannot take
right.
my happiness and my heaven. And I know that you're not lovable. Be like, you're just not a good person.
Right.
And I'm not going to let your words mm-hmm. hurt me. And sure, take my heaven for free, but I know you can't actually take it.
And him labeling this person as not a lovable is like putting him on the opposite side. He is a lovable person.
He is
someone who has love to share and that others have love for him. Mm-hmm. And like, again, that self-assurance, that confidence here. And like, he's inviting them this whole time to take his heaven, but he knows that they can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
It's so great.
I really fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah. I do too. It's a wonderful song. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
So beautiful. So let's go ahead and go on to Lost, which is like the hit track of this album. We got an amazing music video for this, so we'll hopefully be able to unpack that soon with you guys. But for now, we'll talk about the production and the lyrics. A lot of the same people that we've seen on the album again. Nancy Boy is coming back here. Someone new, J-Clef, is up here, and J-Clef was also listed underneath supporting vocals. I think this might be the person's whose vocals, I think they're like edited and like changed tone and whatever.
Yeah.
But like the sample at the beginning that we hear, that is my best guess to who it is.
That's the best guess we have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's okay. But usually with someone who's, you hear their voice so much in the song, you think they'd be credited like featuring or something.
Right.
But they really aren't.
But no, I mean, yeah. maybe just because they were using it more as a sample, they didn't have to do it that way. But mm-hmm. that's who we thought it could be. But this song feels very bright. One of the brighter ones on the album. For me, it gives like Oliver Tree vibes with the guitar style. And then like the ad-libbing that goes on throughout it, especially in the pre-chorus, like the I is so mm-hmm. like, I feel like I've heard that in Oliver Tree songs before.
Yeah.
I love the vibe of this song. Like the very first time I heard it, I was like, this is such a bop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a bop. And I also get like that Oliver Tree, that very indie pop, indie electronic. I thought of Group Love when I heard this song, just with how kind of like more upbeat and poppy and mm-hmm. just like all of those ad libs, you know, it's like super indie pop to me, or
yeah.
even the Front Bottoms, much smaller group, but like Group Love is where I went with it.
Yeah.
So it is faster paced synths that you hear. It's giving like techno vibes as the chorus comes in. It has a real nice bass line and simple drum line too.
Mm-hmm.
Feels upbeat. It puts a pep in your step, and it has this freeing feeling to it too.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. It has a little bit of like the weird funk, I think, from the first half of the album. Like, it's kind of bringing that kind of more experimental sound into this, but it's definitely more buttoned up and refined than the first half of the album.
Yeah, which makes sense for a hit track, that it's maybe a little bit more put together. But I do think, like, because of that indie sound to it, it's all of the production is a little bit more out there.
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah, which I think is fun, and it kind of brings that back in there. So at the beginning of this, he is really pondering the ideas of love and lost and kind of questioning, how do you get one or the other, saying like, love, how do you get in love? Take it for the love. How do you get lost? Take it from the love. So just, again, just pondering. I think it's really introducing these themes of love and lost in the rest
love
of the
lost,
song.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of sets the stage.
Right.
In the chorus, he says, I'm goddamn lost. I never been to club before. I hit the club. I never felt so free before. You're a goddamn ghost. I've never felt so fine before. I hit the cloud. So the mention of a ghost in his mind is that we think like this is something that active or present with him, but it haunts him. So you're a goddamn ghost. Like, you're kind of hanging out around me. It like, it's always in the back of my mind. I feel like it's always there, weighing on my shoulders, whatever. And the cloud really could be referring to smoking. So since he's talking about, he's never been to a club, but now he hits the club, the hitting, and I hit the cloud, it makes us think like he might be smoking at a club.
Hitting that cigarette, hitting that vape, whatever. And especially because he talked about that in the first half of the album too.
Yeah. It feels like this is his way to escape that ghost that haunts him. Even though he feels like he's lost and this is kind of out of character, he's never done this really before, but it's allowing him to, it's kind of setting him free from this ghost. Yeah. You know, maybe these responsibilities that he never wanted. Can get his mind off of it. Or to just not be perfect all the time and letting himself be imperfect here.
Just letting him shake free, you know?
Right?
Get a
little loose
sometime. Like him saying, I'm goddamn lost at the beginning. It's not a bad kind of lost. It's like the exact kind of loss that he needs to happen, you know? Like, he is happy to be lost right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting into verse one, the first two lines are kind of like a call to attention where he says like, hold up. Damn, now thank you, don't worry. So it's like, hey, listen up to what I'm here to say, right? He goes in to say, jump into it suddenly I'm in an empty street. Time flies like an arrow. 14, now they're 30. So this immediately made me think of like, I jump into my career and now suddenly I'm standing alone, far beyond anyone else's success in the industry. Or maybe he's just like lost in a city street, not sure what direction to take. Mm-hmm. He started out in his career alone, but now he's kind of alone again because of the amount of fame that him and BTS have garnered over all this time.
Or this is maybe the first time he's really gotten to stop and really, they were just go, like run BTS, right? Now he's 30 and then he looks around and he's like, oh shit. Where am I? How'd I get here?
Right. Yeah, that time flies like an arrow. Like, it's gone by so quickly. They're all grown up now, and they've gone through so many ups and downs in that time. Yeah. And the next line is, I look up in the sky. I see a silver cloud. Yo, hurry. So immediately, silver cloud takes us to, like, silver lining that you see, and the silver lining that, like, every bad situation is escapable, and he feels the need to hurry to that silver lining. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a bit of optimism here for the future, and that like he's not lost forever. He's not going to be lost forever, but he is also maybe like reflecting on this crazy busy time of their careers so much and being able to still see the silver lining.
Yeah. I love both the perspectives on that, especially like the silver lining being like, I'm lost in the street. I feel so lost. My life has gone by so quickly. I don't know how I got here, where to go next, but like that little bit of a silver lining, like I'm not lost forever. I'll find my way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So in the refrain, he says over and over, he says, dump it on the ground, pick it up, throw it in the trunk. And so we were trying to like really pick apart what this means. We love the mention of trunk again, since Groin was just two songs ago. We talked about it's a place where you hide or you forget things in there or forget about things in there. So if Namjoon's talking about like how he's feeling lost, he could maybe be talking about like dump it on the ground, address what he, why he feels lost, or the conflicts that maybe spill it have out. Come up. Put it all out there. Mm-hmm. Pick it up, you know, kind of fix things, get things back in place, and throw it in the trunk, because you know, it's something that, it's like a lesson that'll always be there.
Right. Like now it's along for the ride. It's always going to be there, but it's back there. It's not driving the car.
It might come up again. I don't know. Right. But yeah, like exactly. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
So, and this part of the song is really upbeat.
Yeah. You know? Super upbeat. Very upbeat. Very poppy. Like this is when you're bopping around, you got a pep in your step.
Yeah.
So it's like empowering to be able to do that.
Address the problem.
Yeah. We're good. Come on. Yeah, exactly. He goes on to say, like, this is when like the eyes come in. He says, dump it on the ground. Shit. Like, just come on, let's do it basically. And he says, I keep tripping. I can't stop bleeding. I got lost in the ground, but I'm not begging at you. And that I'm not begging at you is like, he's not asking for help. Like we talked about, he's happy to be lost right now. He's not asking to be found. Like he's going to figure it out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mention of ground too, I got lost in the ground, means like he's really, really lost, but also makes me think he's really, really low. Like he could be so down on himself and getting lost in it, you know, but he knows that he's getting scraped up, but he's going to be okay.
I keep tripping, getting, you know, can't stop bleeding, getting scraped up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's addressing, I have been going through it,
Don't,
you know, I will be fine. I know how to help myself.
I know how to get myself back up.
Right. And I think like this declaration that he's been doing here in these songs on the second half, growing in heaven and now into this one, is like, I know how to do it because I'm going to regain control of my life, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's absolutely
right. Yeah. So in the chorus, like we get the chorus a second time, but I just have to mention, although the lyrics don't change, he slows down the tempo. Mm-hmm. And so it gives a bit of a different vibe and puts even more message, like even more importance on the message of the chorus of like, I'm lost. I never hit the club, but now I hit the club. Like it's showing the importance of these things, like this autonomy, these things he wants to do, and showing how important they are by slowing it down.
Yeah, it definitely has more meaning. It lets you soak it in a little bit harder. Like, oh, this is what he's telling
this
us.
This is what I need to do.
This is the important message, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the post-chorus, he says, I got temptation. I got temptation. And so it seems like when he's lost and low like this, he's tempted to go and give into those things that aren't necessarily good for him or tempting, you know, whatever. But he's giving into the temptation and letting himself be lost for a little bit. And I couldn't help but to think about Lost in the Lights, the lyrics Lost in the Lights for Like Crazy, because Like Crazy also has a similar theme of like, I know this maybe isn't the best thing for me, but getting lost in the lights kind of helps with that coping a little bit.
Right.
And I think for him, it's not even just coping. It's just knowing he can do these things for himself and no one can tell him otherwise.
Right.
And he just needs that power over his own choices.
Totally. He can't be worried about if someone finds out and what they're gonna say or whatever. Like, it should be something that any adult can and should be able to do, you know. And I love the Jimin connection to Like Crazy.
I know.
You know, I do see a lot of the similar themes between, like, Lost in the Lights.
This Lost, and he's talking about going to the club.
Going to the club, and Like Crazy, he's in the club the whole time questioning his life decisions.
Mini Mani
forever. This is why they're the best ship. I'll stand on it forever. They understand each other so much. Like, I just fucking love it. So always here for that. Going on to the second verse of this song, he says, every morning, every night, I'm always feeling lifeless. And in the morning, I feel love. I hug it in excitement. And I feel like this is illustrating those brief silver lining moments in your life. You know, he's relating it to maybe waking up happy or feeling love right when you wake up. You like wake up on the right side of the bed. But he's kind of saying, like, even when I do feel a bit lifeless, a bit drained, and just like going through the motions, I also know that I can soak in those few moments when they do come around. And so it feels like maybe coming out of those like more depressive episodes or my state of mind and realizing like there is still some good, you know, thinking about come back to me again. The spring was always here type of vibe.
I know there's just days where I'm like, man, the air is just fresher, the sun is just brighter, right. Like, you know, you just feel those happy days. And good, yeah, exactly. And you just have to capitalize on those moments.
It feels like he's realizing how important those moments are, and like, just in anyone's life, those moments can be very fleeting,
right?
You don't have those days very often, so it's important to recognize and be grateful and hold on to them. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, for the rest of the verse, it feels very much like the ramifications of not having freedom or not being able to be lost in whatever he wants to do, saying every morning, every night, I'm always feeling sickness. When I get lonely as fuck, I still got lifeless. I'll never love when I'm low. It's gonna be lightless. So it just feels like, made us think about when you're just like sick over what you have to do the next day, or like anxious and worrying all night, you know, mm-hmm. until the morning about what is going on in your life, just kind of being lonely and ruminating over like these things that are really bothering you. But it's also at the same time, he's realizing that when he feels this way, he can't love when he's this low. He can't contribute to much when he feels that way. So obviously he's got to work against it. He's got to break out of it. Yeah.
I love that line, and just him knowing like, I can never love when I'm this low.
Right. And so if you're asking me as the leader of BTS to put out these songs about self-love and about empowerment and about like all of these wonderful messages that BTS have had over all these years, how can I do that if I'm not filling my own cup, if I don't have that within myself too, you know? So yeah, like it's another thing where he's like, I just need this time to be me. So that way I can pour that love out that I know I do have. Like, he knows he's a lovable. I also feel like maybe this song is more upbeat because he's sharing the benefits of letting yourself be lost and get lost a little bit, you know? Like, it's not a negative tone at all. It's not like scary and daunting like the first half of the album with like Nuts or Domodachi, you know? It's like very much bright and exciting and encouraging yourself to get goddamn lost. Mm-hmm. Letting yourself cave into temptation or not be perfect all the time, not putting those expectations on yourself to always be perfect and pristine and have like the best image, because it's impossible. It's impossible to do.
Yeah. In Indigo, he talked a lot about like being a human again, and we took that as like going to an art gallery or spending time at home with family or whatever, you know. But like in this album, it seems like he's elaborating on that even more, and it's really just like letting himself be human and letting himself make mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. And that it's actually good to get lost every now and then. And it's good to make mistakes from time to time. And I just felt like this song also has similar themes to Hope on the Street's Lock on Lock too. Mm-hmm. Because Hope on the Street, that Lock on Lock is all about letting loose. Like, locking in is when you're grinding, and unlocking is when you're letting loose and you're having fun. Yeah. And you're maybe getting a little lost.
Right.
Yeah.
And you find the time for it, and you give yourself the space for it, because it could be like we've said, this could be like positions of a power and authority over him keeping him from doing these things. But it also could be him keeping himself from doing these things because he's placed such expectations on himself, you know, of being perfect and of maintaining this image and, you know, all of these things, that he's maybe realizing, I don't have to be quite so extreme with it.
Right.
And so he's giving himself the space and permission to do that. But now he's like, for sure, saying, I need this, and I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. And I'm glad that he's realized that, and he sees the benefit of it.
Yeah.
He's happy about it.
Yeah, he is happy about it. Such a good song. Yeah. I really love Lost. It's definitely one of my favorites on the album.
Yeah, it's a great song. So the next song is Around the World in a Day. So a lot of the same people for writing and production. We've got Jay Clef again, No Identity, Jim Johnny, and then we have Moses Sumney, who is some of the vocals in the song and is working in the chorus of the song with him. So there's really two halves of this song. In the first half, we have this acoustic guitar, very soft vocals. It's stripped down. We have these really nice vocal runs. It's soulful, has a little lo-fi-ish kind of electric bass in it. Kayla, you said it really reminds you of Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book.
Yeah, I mean, it's so that vibe. Like, go listen to Blessings by Chance the Rapper. And although lyrically different, very different, but like the sound of it, the lo-fi, the production, the soulfulness, it's very reminiscent of that in such a good way.
It has a super nice slow build, and then you start hearing these little electric guitar riffs that really stand out because they're so different from the other sound of the production here. Mm-hmm. And we really felt like it's foreshadowing the rock elements that are about to happen in the second half of this song.
Right.
Because the second half of this song is so, it sounds so drastically different from this first half. And I keep calling this transition from the first half to the second half a Beatles transition, mm-hmm. because we go from this calm verse into a rock verse. And it makes me immediately think of A Day in the Life by the Beatles, because there's this like orchestral kind of build, like again, like the tuning of the instruments, mm-hmm. everything seems to be a little like
the kind of like chaos that we heard in Nuts and Domodachi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how he transitions from this like slower verse into this rock verse.
Yeah.
And
it's so good. I'm so sorry, but I just have to say it's so good.
It's so good.
Like it's just,
and unexpected.
It's unexpected. It's kind of, again, bringing back a little bit of those switch up vibes from the first half. Like we talked about Nuts having like three distinct parts of that song where the production just totally changes, uh-huh. and how it's meant to bring different feelings and different emotions along with those lyrics. So it's just, it fucking hits in this song
in
such a good way. The build that he has here, that orchestral build, that Beatles transition. Oh, it's just immaculate.
It is immaculate. Yeah. It's satisfying to hear. Mm-hmm. Full on rock, electric guitar. The drumming is grand. There's a lot of cymbals. There's a cappella singing that even happens at the end. That's like very peaceful, hearing these kind of like raw vocal singing in unison. I would just say like the production of this song overall, like it has this big mix up, big change up. But it really works, and it feels cathartic, mm-hmm. and very conclusionary, which makes sense as we're approaching the end of this album.
Right, for sure. So let's go ahead and dive into the lyrics here.
Yeah. In the chorus, it really seems like he feels like with the lies he may or may not have been told, or the constant contemplation of what's right, what's wrong, is that he's not going to worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And he uses this line of, is it right? Is it wrong? Could you tell me? Is it right? Is it wrong? Could you tell me it's true? Only time will sort it out. Mm-hmm. And I love this mention of time, because he's basically saying like, what's right, what's wrong is not something that I can say for sure, not something you can say for sure. What's true, what's false, you know, like only time will tell. Only time will tell. And it seems like he's surrendering or forfeiting to trying to figure it out and leaving it up to something that's greater than himself.
Right. I love that interpretation of like leaving it up to time, mm-hmm. knowing that it will work itself out. And with like his approach and his perspective, his mindset now, mm-hmm. like he's very confident that it will work out in the end, and that he just has to keep going with it. You know, it's not a total hands off, like I'm totally going with the flow here. Mm-hmm. Like he's not giving up here, but he is, I think, like you said, he's again talking about that there is different rights and different wrongs, mm-hmm. for different people.
And he's not gonna worry and distress himself out over
about
it anymore.
What that is.
It's like a very peaceful white flag, you know, of surrendering, like, no, you can't tell me and I can't tell you.
Right.
Only time will tell.
Exactly. You know? I also love his line. He says, is it right? Is it wrong? I can tell you that I've outgrown. And so I feel like that, you know, I can tell you that I've outgrown is him acknowledging that he has grown up, you know, over these 14 years of being a BTS member, mm-hmm. you know, he has changed so much and he cannot fit.
This man is about to be 30.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, he's a grown adult.
Totally. And he can't fit in the small box and the persona that RM of BTS has placed him in. And he's outstretching and he's exploring what it means to be him and truly him, which it's not that all of his music has been inauthentic to him this whole time. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think that's what he's saying at all, or what he feels or what we feel. It's just that it has been constricting being in this position that he's been in, and being labeled as so many different things and trying to navigate that as a young person while still having autonomy and knowing who you really are. Mm-hmm. So I think like he's just really stretching that out now. He's declaring like, this is who I am and I'm gonna be cool with that. I hope you guys are cool with that, you mm-hmm. know.
Things change, people change.
Exactly. Everything changes. So again, hearkening back to Indigo there. Mm-hmm. And it feels like here he's talking about positions of authority here in this first chorus. But then in the post chorus that's coming up, it seems like he's talking to his members. And so this is mostly like Moses Sumney's vocalizing here, but the lyrics are what's really important here, where he's like, he's saying a few lines that feels like he's talking to his members. Let's run the night. Let's end the masquerade. It's our design and we'll be marching. So it feels like a call to action for them as a group and as a family to trust in their ability to sort it out for what they want their future to look like. If it's meant, you know, whatever's meant to be will be, and just reaffirming that it's their choice, you know. Yeah. They get to put down the masquerade. They get to end the masquerade of like whatever, you know. I'm thinking about like them in like the puppet outfits and Fake Love, you know. Oh. Like the kind of being controlled that BTS have been hinting at all this. Of course there's like restrictions on what they've been able to say and do and whatever through their music.
Yeah.
And they've just kind of reached a point where they need to have more freedom and right. more self-expression than they've had before.
Yeah. I'm sorry, like he's reclaiming his own self-autonomy. Right. And he's now like saying it to his members. It's we got our this. Design.
Exactly.
We get to decide. We get to have our own autonomy. Let's end the masquerade.
Right. And I wish I had the lyrics here from All Day with Tableau, but Tableau's mm-hmm. verse I feel like talks about that, like his perspective, mm-hmm. like almost speaking for the BTS members, like we got to push against it when we mm-hmm. can, you know, we got to light it up when it's dynamite type mm-hmm. of thing. Like we're the ones who have the power here. And so RM is like affirming his members, like we got this. Yeah. You know, I think BTS have so much power. They are yeah. so profitable and so experienced in the industry. Like they have the ability to be able to take control in yeah. this way, you know.
Oh, and I just love the reclaiming of this too as one of the last songs and last albums before going into military service, right. where he's prepping himself for the return of BTS.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. I love what this is leaving us with for what we're going to get there in the future. He also says, what's wrong is right. We were really thinking about him talking about he doesn't have to be perfect. We are meant to make mistakes. What's wrong is right, because that is when the most growth, the most learning, and the most opportunity happens in life. Like I preach to my students all the time that you have to let yourself try. You have to, it's okay to fail. You have to fail because mm-hmm. that's when you learn the most, and you're not going to make the mistake again after you go through that. But you also have so much more knowledge and experience from going through that. Mm-hmm. And so it's really like this dichotomy of living your life versus living up to responsibilities and expectations. You can't always do both. You have to make a choice over how you're going to lead your life.
Yeah.
And really what's considered wrong in giving into those wrongs is sometimes what's needed for learning to happen, and it's meant to happen that way so you can learn for yourself. So mm-hmm. I think he's encouraging him and the rest of BTS yeah. to, you know, maybe they have been told that that's the wrong way to do things or mm-hmm. not the best approach or not the best plan. But if it's right for them, then it's right for them.
Yeah. I think there's so much power in what's wrong is right. Everything yeah. you were saying, like yeah. even if you do the wrong thing, as long as you learn from it, you know, that it was right that it happened. That was meant to happen. It should have happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of finding like, yeah, the perfection in being imperfect.
Imperfect, totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at the interlude, he says, all around and around, I see lovin' all around the town, all around the town, I see lovin' all around. And this is kind of that opportunity for love and happiness. It's not that he doesn't see any good in his life or the world, but he actually sees it all around and he wants to engage in it. Mm-hmm. And like, again, this is giving hope on the street to me.
Totally.
But it's just lovely to kind of get this bridge or this interlude here in the song.
Especially him going from the previous song, like talking about like, I'll never love when I'm low. And now going into like, I see love everywhere I look type of vibe. Mm-hmm. Just it's again, like so much shift in mindset and growth and like seeing him kind of like working through it and on the other side of it. So I love that. Like, again, he's able to write these lyrics because it's coming from like such a place of he's really feeling that way. You yeah. know, like I'm happy for him that he's embracing that and he's seeing it and recognizing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. yeah.
Also, this is really where the song starts to switch up.
It does switch up.
Yeah.
This is where it switches up. Then this next verse, this is when he's, you know, rocking out.
Rapping, flowing.
Mm. You know, he's saying, look around, jump. I live that raw. motherfuckers in the crowd, lick mine with the straw. Like, he's like, I be acting out like that. I'm around in the club. I'll be stamping on you. Like, screw you. Yeah. And he goes back to saying, I can barely sleep. I got you a ghost in my closet. If you want my bad and some tears, give you the loot. It's a loop shit. And I just feel like there's a lot of callback to Heaven's lyrics here, like the ghost following him around. But how do you want to get
I don't know where you were saying.
You
want his heaven. It's the idea of like the, you want bad work for me. You want me to be like upset when I'm working. I'll give you the loot. Like, you can profit off of me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it's like a loop shit. Like, it's just this cycle that has kept continuing.
Okay. So I feel like there's a lot of callback to Heaven's lyrics here, especially the mentioning of the ghost following him around, and also like going back to like the club and having that kind of like, screw you, I'm gonna, you know, really act out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then he continues to go on and say, I'm gonna ride till the hate and love ain't matter. I'll never mind, because all I want to do is dance better. This part just made me think of that book, The Four Agreements. And the second agreement is, don't take anything personally, like good or bad, regardless of the source, if it's a positive or negative comment about you. Like, don't take any of it to heart. That I'm going to ride till the love and hate don't matter. You know, like, it does not, it's not going to affect his day, his mood, what he thinks about himself, or the choices that he makes, regardless of if he gets positive or negative praise. Like, he has to make the right choices for himself and not make choices based on what others are saying.
Yeah, what they're saying, or what they think of it.
Right. Mm.
He continues to go on saying, like, I'm a burp loud. Everything's getting rather loose and above cloud, and I'm down with you. I'll let it loose. And so I think he's, again, it's just that imperfect, unmannered, loosened up, like, I'm going to be crass. Like, he can be the above cloud and also down with you. It makes me feel like he can be famous and grounded at the same time. I can also be high and low. I can be right or pristine and also be down in the mud, low or wrong. Like, he's just kind of showing that he is both. Can be both.
Right.
But also, I just love the reiteration of letting loose, and like, it's so essential for him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so, yeah, so important for
it. Really feels like he's kind of wrapping up his thoughts in the latter half songs of this album after the interlude here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, if I fall asleep again, hit me. I don't feel good. Drop me off. After losing your path, the scenery is more beautiful. And I can't help but to think of the Festa dinner and the discussion around the English discography when Namjoon felt like he still had BTS in his hands during Dynamite, but lost control after that. Mm-hmm. I picture that's the era of him being asleep. Like, if I fall asleep again, hit me. Like,
right,
wake me up. But also him saying that, you know, after losing his path, being like dropped off here, he's lost, that it's not necessarily a bad thing, that the change of scenery is actually really beautiful, and it's helping him find like his true self again,
right,
by, after he's been lost.
Right, that fresh perspective. I also love like these lyrics kind of feeling analogous to a car again, like him sitting in the driver's seat, like kind of like falling asleep at the wheel, you know, him as the leader of BTS, he fell asleep at the wheel. He kind of like, you know, dropped off a little bit, but he's like, okay, don't let that fucking happen again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not letting the, you know, BTS out of my grasp ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's taking control.
He's taking control. He's taking the reins back.
Yeah.
Damn. He goes on to say, it's like a lost piece I hope will be found. We lost the path. We ain't look so pitiful. Now raise your middle finger with that smile on your face. So I love like the we lost the path. We as in BTS. Don't pity them for it, for like maybe losing their way a little bit with like Butter, Permission to Dance, maybe feeling less authentic or like not doing what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need to pity them through it, because like we've been talking about in the song, they needed that growth. They needed that learning opportunity to know like what's really important to them, and like maybe a bit of that like reality check of like, we need to find our way again.
Mm-hmm.
And Namjoon is hopeful in that. It's like, I lost a piece, but I hope it'll be found. He hopes, he knows that, you know, it is able to be reclaimed here.
Yes.
Yes. And I love the like happily saying fuck everything, like raise your middle finger with a smile on your face, like fuck off Hive or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm.
Or to the haters, or to who the has haters, anyone sure. to say anything right. about me smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Fuck
he,
you.
He ends the song with, yeah, all the past, the present, I'm a past, then give it to you. I like my broken self, bitch. That's the shit. And so again, it's just like, I like my imperfect self. I mm-hmm. am okay with it. I don't have to be perfect. Like past, present, future, whoever I am, I like who I am.
Yeah.
That's the most love myself lyric of all time.
That you is. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not caring what the company thinks, not caring what even Army thinks right. or the fans think, right. not caring what the haters think.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine making music just because like you're just trying to figure out what you think Army is gonna like?
Yeah,
like making your whole sound about like what are my fans gonna like, instead of making good music and the fans will come regardless, you mm-hmm. know, like that would be so draining. So
yeah which is I think like wonderful that he made this album, because exactly. this album was definitely not for the fans,
right?
This album is for him,
and I fucking love that for him.
I do too.
Let's get into the last song that we're talking about, since, of course, we already talked about Come Back to Me, the true last song in this album. But we feel like this last song, Credit Roll, is like that intentional last song.
Come Back to Me seemed like an additional song that he had that didn't have a place on the album, but he loved it so much he threw it at the end.
Right. I mean, or like, and again, when we've gone through these lyrics, these last couple songs, like Around the World in a Day, I feel like really reprises, you know, his whole themes for the album, even going back to like Right Person, Wrong Place, and like uh-huh. thinking about that right and wrong. So the credit roll is like that nice end here.
This is the end.
So this is super simple. It feels very, to me, like influenced by traditional Asian melodies and like chord progression, just super simple, stripped down. The keyboard has like an organ sound to it at the start. There's some guitar riffs and keyboard playing the same notes that he's singing, so like he is the sound and the melody and the music along
They're
with
together,
him
yeah.
together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very simple song, like we said, feels like the conclusion here. So he says, when the credits roll, do you hang tight? Do you stay inside or go off to life? I'm so grateful for everyone's time. Hope you all had such a wonderful night. And he kind of repeats that a couple times. I just love that he put this here, because I think that he knows that this is a really fucking dense album if you really want to understand it and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. This is not for the average listener. This is not for the everyday music consumer. So I think he's just truly grateful and showing that gratitude for people listening and taking the time to listen to this album and, you know, understand it if they took the time to do that. And he's also here wondering and pondering if they'll hang around for the next one. Like, did I scare you off? Was this too fucking weird for you? Mm-hmm. Like, you're gonna listen to my music again, you know? So yeah, I just love this kind of like summation, this like little goodbye mm-hmm. on this album that we haven't gotten before.
Yeah. And I just have never seen someone do this on like an album before, but like thanking the listener for really like taking the time to listen to what he has to say, mm-hmm. despite it not being like a typical BTS album or even like a typical RM, like Indigo and Mono.
Right.
Like, you know, this is very, very different from what he normally has. And so for sure, like this album was for him, but like he's appreciative of everyone who took the time to listen to it, to understand it. And so I think it's very sweet. Yeah, very sweet.
I think so too.
Yeah. Like, do you hang around when the credits roll?
Yeah.
Initially, I had mentioned to you guys and I told Kayla, like, the day the album came out, I was, the best way to put it is confused by it. Hadn't heard anything like this from him before. I was trying to make sense of the production. I'm like kind of even questioning, does this sound good? Like, it doesn't, you know, it's just not like, nothing was like replayable for me.
Right.
And there was a part of me that was maybe a little sad, like, oh, I don't have, you know, that like a new still life.
Right.
But as we've gotten into this album review, I knew that there was a lot of intention to this album, and the lyrics and the production do not disappoint now. Mm. It really doesn't. Like, I feel like truly when he says that he got healing from this album, I feel it.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe him. I really, really believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like by the end of this album, he definitely had that release of feeling mm-hmm. like he is relieved to get all of this off of his chest finally and like process it. I'm so glad that you got to a point with this album where like you can really appreciate
so much appreciation,
you know, the intention behind it and maybe appreciate some of the songs a little bit more. And I know that in the second half of the album, you really love some of these songs. Mm-hmm. So like they do have more replayability to you now after like you've had more time to process it.
Also, I know.
Like, he's really thanking you for spending, you know, we've probably really spent like 12 hours on this album, like
I know.
Digesting it and then talking about it in the podcast. So yeah, I mean, you know that I love the album. Like immediately I just was so intrigued by how off the wall it was, you know, like I'm right with you. It's not like anything we've ever gotten from him before. Mm-hmm. And so it was like really crazy to hear for the first time, but it was like, wow, he really must be saying something here. He really mm-hmm. must be intentional. And so once we were able to get into the lyrics, I am so grateful for his honesty and to like have these things that you and I feel like we've speculated about for quite some time to have it right from him, direct and open. So it feels good to know what he's really been struggling with instead mm-hmm. of trying to read between the lines so much, like with Indigo.
Yeah. Happy. And that he's realized what he really needed.
Yeah, it feels like he has definitely reclaimed his power. He's claiming autonomy. He's claiming control over his own life. And I think like this album, even the creation of this album, was like a major step in doing that. But
like getting out of that box of BTS, mm-hmm. you know, even if like this album is so out there, at least now he knows like I can write weird ass music like this and put it out into the world if I want to.
Right.
And I've done it and now I know I can do it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of control he needed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. 100%. So I love this album.
Me too.
It definitely has mm-hmm. so much replayability for me. I shared in the first episode that like Nuts was like my favorite song. Definitely my favorite song, like the first half. In the second half, man, it might be Around the World in a Day. It might be Lost. Like it is, I really love Lost. Like it's such a vibe, you mm-hmm. know, but I have so much appreciation for the second half of these album. Like I feel like these four songs here that we talked about, or five songs we talked about, are so deep.
Heaven is fantastic.
Heaven is so good.
Groin has me.
Groin is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, so we fucking love this album. We have really enjoyed talking to you guys about it. Thanks for hanging in for the two-part album review, the long episodes on it.
I know.
We had to dive in.
I mean, it's RM.
Yeah. I mean,
the lyrics.
He gives us so much. So yeah. Coming up, guys, we have so much. June is crazy. We are going to be getting Jin back from the military.
Oh my god! Like, he's giving people hugs. Oh my god! We'll talk about it.
We're getting Jin back. Festa will be well underway by the time we talk to you next. And this Friday, like maybe even when you're listening to this episode, Jungkook is coming out with a single for Festa. Also,
Damn.
We're so fucking excited. So next episode in 2 weeks, we will be addressing all of those things. And then after that, we'll finally have some time to discuss the rest of the music videos and performances from RM's album at length, unless mm-hmm. something else crazy comes up and we'll throw in a mini money or something. Yeah, we'll let you know. And then we do have the iconic hangout for June scheduled on Monday, June 24th. So if you want to talk about this album, you want to talk about Festa, Jin getting back. Oh my God.
We may also be doing Jeopardy.
Oh my
God.
They
want to
join.
Yeah.
So, you know, let us know if you want to join for that. If you want the hookup for Patreon, you can of course find the link in the description to do all of that. We want to say a special supporters to our VIP Iconics on Patreon, especially Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so much for all of your love and support. Can't wait to see y'all at the Iconic Hangout. If you enjoyed this episode, our other album reviews, let us know, please. Spotify reviews, Apple Podcast reviews, wherever you listen, it means so much to us. And of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/getstarted for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.